welcome to a very special bonus episode of Into the Aether. It's a low-key video game podcast. My name is Brendan Bigley.
I'm Stephen Hilger, and Brendan and I right now are playing Final Fantasy XIV, which we will also be discussing.
Yeah.
Like, I think we tweeted about this, and obviously you'll probably know the deal going into this episode, but we decided to stream us playing it while we record the episode, so it'll be a little bit different. We'll do our best to not be like, look at this cool thing I'm looking at right now as you listen to the episode.
Right.
But if you do want to watch it in full, which includes like us before and after hanging out, it will be on our Twitch page, which is twitch.tv/intothecast, and YouTube, potentially. So
yeah,
it'll be in both places.
Yeah, if you want to hear the horrible microphone feedback I just sent to everybody watching on Twitch before we started recording, by all means, head over to twitch.tv/intothecast and you can check out that VOD. It'll also be on YouTube. I imagine I'll cut all that stuff out.
Yeah, on LinkedIn.
That said, if you want to head over to LinkedIn.com.
If you
want to
endorse
and just
me
sign
for,
up for
Microsoft
our account,
Word.
Yeah, can you endorse me for computers, please, on LinkedIn.com? You can also go to LinkedIn.app, depending on, you know, what device you're using. All of these things and more are accessible and wonderful and should be used. Did you know that Microsoft owns LinkedIn now? It's Bill Gates Presents LinkedIn.
I adore that.
Yeah.
And for many reasons. It's very Zune-esque. They're kind of just following that trend, I think.
Anyway, because this is a bonus episode, we have to start, as we always do, by thanking our patrons for making this possible. So thank you so much to the big long list: Akira, Alex, Andrew D, the other Andrew D, Ariel, Bede, Benjamin D, Benjamin W, Bolt, Brendan, Brett, Catherine, Christopher, David, Dennis, Elliot, Hilton, Inez, Jason, Jeff, Josh, Cameron, Connor, Kieran, Kim, Kyle, Mark, Marcel, Melly, Muffin Pie, Micah, Min, Murray, Naomi, No Name, Pablo, Philip, Robert, Salute, Peasy, Scout, Shelly, Skin Tight Alloy, Spencer, Trevor, and William. Thank you all so much for
thank
backing
you so
the
much.
Show.
Wow.
If you want to back the show, you can head over to patreon.com/intothecast, and you could do that, which would be really cool. But honestly, and we say this at the end of every episode, but the the best way to help the show grow is to just tell a friend about it if you think that they would like it. That's kind of it. But anyway, this is a very experimental episode for us because we are streaming and recording simultaneously. So if you're watching this, you can see the full unedited thing. For those of you who are in chat right now, like Cloud Strife, who just asked if AJ is excited to be editing an episode that is also a stream. AJ just found out about this like an hour ago.
AJ who? Yeah, he'll get over it.
he will be editing the episode eventually, hopefully.
As I said that, I fell into a nest full of giant eggs. This is immediate karma for giving AJ a hard job.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's going to be great, I'm sure.
He'll be fine.
But anyway, we wanted to talk about Final Fantasy XIV again, just because it's a game that you and I have played like a wild amount. We've played like Fire Emblem Three Houses levels of hours of this game since picking it up. What was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I think a week sounds right. sorry, I'm trying to grasp my concept of time while a clay golem just really messes me up in this weird nest. But yeah, it has been a shorter amount of time than the amount of time we have played should warrant. But yeah, we wanted to talk about it again, but I think because we're still... So for those who missed our last couple episodes about it, we're still playing through the plot of Overrealm Reborn, which is like essentially the first version of the game. Since it came out, they've added a bunch of expansions with additional story content and all that. So I would say like you and I are probably halfway through the story of Realm Reborn.
It feels that way. You're at level 30, so you just transitioned classes, which we'll talk a little bit about. And I'm at level 25, about to become level 26. So I'm like right behind where you are.
Yeah, and we're really enjoying it. I think this was a kind of a fun change up because like I think we kind of I'm literally in the worst area to gather a thought right now. I don't know where I fell.
What's happening?
I'm surrounded by clay golems and giant scorpions, and I'm trying so hard to play it cool. I don't know what to do. I need to just I might just need to jump off a cliff so I can talk about this game I really like. Just kill me. I want to just kind of talk while they really just beat me up.
Okay.
But yeah, so I'm a bit farther in, obviously, but we're around the same point, and it's just so good. I really, you know, a lot of the stuff that I think you and I will end up saying is kind of a rehash of what we... Here we go, finally, back to New Gridania, so I can speak. That was like a manifestation of my anxiety, just like trying to form like a good thought, like while Clay Golem just beat me up. But basically, like, you and I have both mentioned that we're not really, we traditionally haven't really clicked with MMOs before.
Yeah.
I played WoW back in the day. I played when, like, around the time when Wrath of the Lich King came out, like in 2007. And then I played again for a bit when Cataclysm came out. And I enjoyed it, and I could totally see like why people got so into it, but I just never really got immersed. Like, I feel like I made a bunch of characters and kind of played around with the classes, but I never felt the same sense of place that I do with this game. Yeah. And I think you and I have talked a lot about how, you know, the common consensus of this game is that, like, oh, it gets really good, but you kind of have to muscle through like the beginning, which is, you know, X hundred hours. Okay, I think a hundred hours to get to where like the game is now. The thing is, though, is like, while yes, the story of the of Realm Reborn is like pretty generic and like nothing to write home about, I'm mostly allured by the fact that like I'm like new enough to MMOs that I'm impressed that there's an MMO that's trying to tell a story. And I'm like,
right.
In brief moments, kind of swept up just in the whimsy of it.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I'm really endeared. Like, I really find the setting just so alluring. Like, and that was the thing that kind of clicked right away. It was like, I just felt like the world was so cool, and I was so mesmerized, just like kind of doing these hypnotically simple quests in this really beautiful world.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, in this sort of, like, routine Zen schedule, there's, like, lingering a Chosen One story, I found kind of interesting. And now that that's picking up, I'm just, like, really, really finding myself, like, really invested in my character and in just, like, the well-being of the world above the story itself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have found myself really enjoying the process of getting to know this world over time. And you and I talked a lot in the last episode we did about this, but just the idea of Gridania, which if you're watching the stream, you can see right now, but the idea of Gridania being that like homestead kind of place, you know, that place that like returning to feels warm and fuzzy in a way that I've never felt about any starting city in literally any video game I've ever played in my life. Like,
yeah, like short of like maybe Kokiri Forest and Midgar, like I feel yeah, like a sense of it. I feel like an emotional attachment to Gridania as a place that I haven't felt in other games.
Yeah. And just to double back on my experience with MMOs, I have always really kind of sought after that idea of like the game that I play, like the game specifically, if you know what I mean. Just that idea that like that idea that there is always kind of like Gridania, a thing that I can always return to and feel good about, you know, dumping some time into. And I know there's like the kind of shitty snobby take on MMOs that like they're bad for whatever reason. But, you know, it is a genre of game that brings a lot of people together and a lot of people find a lot of joy in. And I always felt kind of like weirdly left out by that, which is why I spent so much time trying a lot of different MMOs, trying to find one that really clicked for me. Kind of bizarrely, like I bounced between a bunch of them. I played World of Warcraft for a bit. I played Star Trek Online and the Star Wars one and WildStar and fucking DC Universe Online and everything. And like nothing really worked for me at any point. And as I mentioned in the last episode, like Destiny was kind of the closest thing I got to that, but that never really counted for me. So aside from that, I just gave up on that personal quest at one point. But eventually I got to this point where I was like, okay, my new quest now is to find a JRPG that I really like, you know, which is a process that I've kind of outlined over the last year of doing this podcast. And strangely enough, both of those have kind of like happened simultaneously. Not that I didn't find a JRPG until now, because there are a bunch that I really enjoy now, but it's so funny and like the most bizarre twist of fate that the MMO and the JRPG that I love the most is Final Fantasy 14. It's like just the most like twisted, ironic shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just an incredible game. I mean, I'm running around in pink dragon scale armor as a tall, hot elf named Johnny Anime. You know, like, how can you not love this game? I have a chocobo named Star Wars that I get to ride around on all the time.
Yeah, I just got a chocobo as well. I named them Bowie. I wanted to name them David Bowie, but there wasn't like a great way to have a space between the names.
Yeah.
What's funny, too, is like, even though I just said like in the story for me, like the sort of shows, there's a point in the game where you kind of join this group of heroes that are called the Scions of the Seventh Dawn. Is that right? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
I knew they were Scions, but I wasn't sure which Dawn, to be quite honest. but you join them and like you start to do like, you know, you start the A plot of the game is basically, like we said last time, which I still find routinely fascinating, that the whole realm was destroyed in the real world events of Square like relaunching the game. So there's this kind of meta text to the world that everyone talks about the Calamity, which really is like for us just like the awful launch of the original game,
right.
Which is really, it's really kind of sad to hear these characters be like, I remember the screams and the flame that like consumed everything. Like, oh my God, for us, it was just like a bad review. But for you, it was everything.
For us, it was just somebody on IGN going, I have only negatives to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and for Gridania, it was like scorched lumber and like just screaming. Mm-hmm. but I think there's I think you once talked about Destiny of like the plot of Destiny is about making Destiny. And I think there seems to be some conscious stuff in this story that's like about being an MMO and being an MMO that like got a second chance. Really has since Realm Reborn, you know, it's just gotten better and better. And I think the thing that's worth pointing out in terms of like, the path to Stormbringers is X, is that you feel and see the game getting better as you play it. Like,
yeah.
It really, like, I had downloaded a free trial of this game years ago, and I made a character and kind of messed around for a bit. And like, it was fun, but like, it cannot put a worse foot forward. Like, it throws a million menus at you, and like, you're not really doing anything. Like, you know, again, like, the story is kind of just sort of there. I mean, even at this point, you know, I'm not reading every text box. Like, I'm really just enjoying like being in this world. And I think that's something that with MMOs, like, I think at a certain point, like when WoW first came out, the novelty of just playing online was such like a big deal. Like, that was around the same time that Xbox Live had like just come into existence. And
yeah, and it was like a culmination of a lot of games that had tried to do that, but like, it almost, I hate to use this comparison, but it was almost like the Apple version of an MMO, where like a lot of people tried making smartphones and then the iPhone came out. It was like, oh yeah, that is how you're supposed to do it. Like, right. that was what WoW was at the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I think like with WoW, like when I tried to get into that, I felt like a lot of my friends who played it, the sort of like haunting thing for me in terms of like the sort of more negative side of MMOs and like discussions about addiction and all that, like
right.
I don't know if I can't say on you know whether or not anyone was like addicted. I think that can exist for certain people's experiences, and like obviously that's a big conversation, but the thing that always struck me about WoW in particular was that I feel like I had a lot of friends who played it, and at a certain point it felt like they almost didn't want to play it, but they had to because they had some kind of like guild obligation, like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go and do this. And like,
yeah,
it almost put me out of it, where like I felt like the people that were most into it, it became like a job for them. And I
right.
hear that term a lot for a lot of MMOs, where like people are like, oh, it eventually becomes a job. And I don't feel that at all with this game, and I don't think I ever will, based on how I'm playing it, where like I'm routinely blown away by like the sense of progression in this game and the sense of like where I am now. Like, for context, I'm level 30. And at level 30, your class, there's sort of the main storyline, and then your job also has a storyline. So I just finished the Archer storyline. And I have to say, I kind of got into it. Like, by the end, I really enjoyed the arc it took. And They set me up to become a bard now. So I met this dude in the woods who's playing a harp, and he's like, you shoot a bow, but can you write a good song, Zoe Bahamut? For those who don't know, my character is named Zoe Bahamut, and she's like a kind of like dragonborn, tiefling-esque, like lizard dragon person. She's very cool. My idea was like, I wanted to make a character who I would want in my party in a Final Fantasy game. I'm like, if I'm going to spend this much time as them, I want to make someone that like I would want on my team. And it's been a blast. As a bard, I also will say that I can now just play instruments like in real time. I can just hit buttons on my controller and like play the bongos.
I love that so much.
And it's the best game I've ever played in my life.
In the game, so I can see that. I kind of did almost the exact opposite thing that you did, because you kind of put a lot of thought into the creation of Zoe Bahamut, and I was like, I spend so much time making characters in these games that I just need to make like essentially a shit post that makes me laugh, and like that'll be the thing that keeps me interested, and that's where Johnny Anime came from.
And oddly enough, they go really well together. Like, they look cool.
They do.
They both look great.
Absolutely. Yeah. The two of them hanging out is like, oh man, I think you mentioned this in the first or second episode or something, but it was like, I want to watch that band. Like I would be a roadie for that band.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now I can play every instrument, so Johnny can sing, I guess, or just like swing his lance around. Or do he's a leather worker, right? He's a lancer and leather worker.
I am a leather worker, which is fun. I don't think you talked at all in the last episode about your crafting experience, did you? Your woodworking?
Oh yeah. So at a certain point you can pick up a job which is treated with the same weight as like your main one. It's worth noting that you don't like, it's not like other MMOs where you have like an overall class level. You just have like, okay, I'm a level 30 bard and I'm a level 20 something carpenter. And you can switch between classes by just switching your main weapon, which is awesome. So, like, you can have gear sets saved to each weapon you have equipped. So, like, if I really wanted to, I could just take out my carpenter's saw and, like, fight clay golems. I won't, but I could. But with all the crafting jobs, like, they give it almost, like, its own battle system. And, like, I think that's the thing the game does really well, is everything is given weight. Even if the writing is hit or miss at times, like, the people who are just, like, their job is being an NPC that hands out quests. Like, they share moments of joy when, like, you're now, like, a bigger deal in Gridania. The fact that you join a carpenter's guild, like, the dude who runs it is, like, really into the craft and, like, kind of has, like, Andy Warhol sunglasses and is, like, kind of pretentious but very kind-hearted. And to them, to everyone there, like, carpentry is as big of a deal as it is for the archers in the archers guild. They talk about, you know, the philosophy behind carpentry and, like, how what you're doing can potentially save lives. And, like, that all really lands for me. That all makes me feel so immersed in this setting. And like we said in the last episode, when you do finish major quest lines, I really feel like I had an impact on the world. And the fact that we're still in the like the thick of the part of the game that people say you should like have to muscle through is really just getting me so pumped to see what else is there. You know, I really want to see, because Heavensward apparently is all about the race that Zoe Bahamut is, the like dragon people. And Shadowbringers apparently is the best Final Fantasy story. So, like we said last time, the fact that that's lingering on the horizon is like another really exciting incentive as the game just gets better and better.
Yeah, yeah. On the flip side, with Johnny Anime as a leather worker, I've had kind of like an opposite experience tonally, but thematically it lands the same. Where when I am making stuff for the leather working guild, the person who runs it is constantly just like, yeah, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit, but like, you are improving, so you should keep doing it. And like, just like, you could tell that like she takes it extremely seriously, essentially. Sure. And she's like, who is this person dressed in all pink dragon scale armor who thinks that they can just walk in here and become a leather worker? Like, that's not how this works. And it all culminated in this one really great quest line where she was like, I need you. It was right when they unlock for you the ability to like auto craft stuff. So like, usually there's a whole little like mini game kind of thing that you have to go through to be able to craft things. And And she was like, I need you to make 30 of this, like, pronto. Like, the army needs it. It's going to be a really big thing. And, like, you're going to save a lot of lives by making all this stuff. So you go and you make it, and it's the first time you can autocraft. So you're just, like, kind of watching the bar go up. But, like, you do feel that sense of purpose as you're doing it. And then I went to go hand in my 30 pieces of leather or whatever. I forget what it was. I think it was, like, belts or something. I handed in my 30 belts. And she was like, cool, these are going to make great practice scraps for the newbies. Thanks for making these. And I was just like, oh, wait, what do you mean? And she was like, you didn't think I would actually allow you to make things that would be worn by our military, do you? You just walked in here like a day ago, my guy. but she was like, but it is really important that we have practice scraps to work with for people like you who are coming in. And we ended up using all the practice scraps to actually turn into the real belts that we needed for this huge order for the army. So, like, you are actually helping in your own way. And just to touch on what you were talking about, I honestly, the more I play this, feel like that is the theme of this game, especially in the A Realm Reborn era, where, like, everybody who lives in Gridania currently at some point or another watched the apocalypse happen.
Yeah. Right.
It reminds me so much of Breath of the Wild and the thing that I really attached to with that game, which was just this idea that, like, yeah, you lost. Like, Ganondorf won and rules Hyrule with an iron fist. He's like this giant kind of specter that looms over everything. But that doesn't mean that people have lost hope, and that doesn't mean that people have just stopped living. Like, Hyrule is still a beautiful place to explore and is still, like, just, you know, an incredible and wondrous land to explore, filled with people who have hope and are continuing their lives. And that's weirdly what this game is evoking for me, which is the last thing I expected from Final Fantasy XIV Online. You know, I didn't expect to have this, like, pure optimistic kind of utopic vision of an apocalypse. But that's what I'm getting here. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth touching, like, I guess a little bit on the A plot. Like we said, like, it really does, like, I think you can criticize the pacing, but I think, you know, you and I have highlighted it as working well in the long run, where, like, you show up to town and of course they're just going to be, okay, I guess go kill a few squirrels. Like, that's all the work we have. Like, yeah. You're just, and in the lore of the game, there are just people called adventurers that, like, you are one of many. So, yeah. Like, you get to a certain point where it does open, like, with you in this sort of dreamscape where there's a crystal talking to you. So, like,
yeah,
it's set up that you're probably important, but just through dreams. And it's not until, like, probably your level 10 or 15 where things start, like, happening in whatever province you start in, and the leaders of the province start turning to you, which eventually leads to you being recruited by the Scions, who are all characters that have something called the Echo, which means that they can't be corrupted by various primals who are all big summons from other games. So the first primal you fight is Ifrit, and in a scene, Ifrit, like, breathes on a group that was captured to be sacrificed, and everyone else starts, like, worshiping him, but you don't, because your soul is bound to another, as they say. And that's right. That's what the Echo is. So at the point where we're at, we're basically just doing stuff for the Scions. What makes me laugh, though, is that, like, we're at a point now where we are really a big deal, and I literally was just given a quest to dust paintings with a chocobo feather. Like, they're still giving me busy work. But I think I would say around level 15 is also the time when you start doing dungeon quests. And that's where the game, like, in terms of the gameplay, really picks up, for me at least. Like, that's where they really start teaching you, like, how to play your class, whether it's DPS, tank, or healer. And they really do invest a lot of, like, in-game quests to, like, teach you how playing online is going to go. Like, there's even a quest I just did that introduced me to the PvP area, which I kind of bounced from because I've never really been drawn to PvP in games like this, especially, like, with everything we just said, that doesn't really match the vibe I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's cool that they introduce it in a way that meshes with the story.
Yeah, yeah. And just to speak to that vibe, like, this does scratch the itch that Destiny, almost immediately this started scratching the itch that Destiny started scratching for me, like way after I had done every raid and every strike and every like quest that I could possibly do, every story mission. Like when I'm replaying missions in Destiny, it's kind of this like zen state where I don't really have to think about what I'm doing. I just know how to do it. And that allows for things like hanging out and talking with friends while playing that game. And this game weirdly like strikes that same kind of relaxing zen vibe, like almost from go. And I think a lot of that has to do with starting in Gridania versus Ul'dah or Limsa Liminsa, which are the two other starting cities. Because I just think that's like a really chill, cool, like elf haven to hang out in. But I just really appreciate that about this game. And it's the reason why every time I sit down to play a game, I'm like, I guess I'll just play Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's really like, I think this is a game where, you know, we mentioned the sort of daunting amount of time that it can take to see the whole story. And I don't feel daunted by it because it's the game. It's the kind of game that I play for like an hour or so every day. You know what I mean? Like, or not every day, but like it's sort of like a winding down game where it's something that's great to like coming home right from work and like not jumping right into something a little bit more I guess I don't want to say stressful, but like I just know exactly what I'm getting into when I play this, and I can kind of seek what the experience is. Like I can have it be just me running around town talking to you, recording our bonus episode, and like I'm having the best time. Or I could fall into a pit full of eggs and clay golems and have the worst time.
Like, to be perfectly honest, when I pitched the idea of doing this episode live on Twitch while playing the game, I didn't think about the, like, overwhelming stress that might befall me if I'm trying to have, like, I don't know, an entertaining stream while simultaneously having, like, something maybe potentially interesting to say about this video game, like, all at once, while also watching chat and also thinking about answers to Q&A questions. Like, that didn't really cross my mind when I started thinking about it. But the fact that it is happening kind of so naturally, I think, speaks to the zen state of this game. I sure am just like flying through this game right now while we're doing this podcast, which kind of rules.
Yeah. So I guess, do you have anything else about the main game or the main story or anything we've like uncovered since that you want to highlight, or do you want to go into questions or talk about what you're doing right now? What do you think is appealing to you in this moment?
I'm thinking it might be a good time to start questions. I feel pretty good about the stuff that we've covered personally. I just kind of wanted to touch in and like just say again how much I love this, and also touch on that theme of resilience that I think is really powerful.
Absolutely. I think that's a great, resilience is a great word, because I think that's something that the characters exhibit as well as the like people who make the game. And like, there cannot be more of a comeback between this and Shadowbringers. And I think this is a game we'll probably bring up again as we slowly but surely get to the other expansions. Yeah. Also, I mean, while we're all together, I also just want to highlight that, like, I'm really, really happy it seems to be landing with a lot of people in the Discord as well. And I want to thank you all for the work you put into, like, organizing, like, you know, all the group stuff we can do. And, like, that's all, like, that's all just a testament, like more so than the game itself. It's a testament to like the community that's been growing around the show. And I think that this game is like oddly like a great like medium for us all to like hang out and play video games. You know, like it's a really, I mean, it's an MMO, so not really too surprising that like, hey, there's this game that's like online that a lot of friends can play at once. But like, you know, I think
it's massive, but it is multiplayer. And it's also online.
You said that when you first were playing, and I was kind of nervous if you were going to like it or not. And you went, I love that it's massive. I love that it's multiplayer. I love that it's online. and I think, but oddly enough, even though that was like just a goof, like I think the RPG aspect of this MMO is really what's landing to me that hasn't in the past. Like I think that this game really lends itself to the sort of more ethereal aspects of a role-playing game that, like, WoW kind of falls short on for me. And, I'm just loving it. Oh, Johnny Anime invited me to join a party. Well, I think this is a good time to start doing questions.
I do want to... Oh, I do want to just mention something in chat. AndDrake720 said, I was having dinner with friends last night talking about your Kentucky Route Zero episode and told them to check out your podcast. First of all, thank you for that. They said, yeah, maybe. But then I showed them a picture of Johnny Anime and they were like, yeah, send me a link to that show. So really glad that Johnny Anime is striking a chord with so many people, not only in Gridania and Eorzea at large, but, you know, in this, the real world, which is the most massive in multiplayer and online game you can play, is your own life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree.
yes, and.
Let's do questions. Unless anything else popped up in chat, I have a bunch of ones that were already asked in my notes app here.
One person in chat, TimidTurtle23, asked where I got the dragon scale armor. I got it by doing a quest that taught me how to play as a lancer, and then I dyed it pink with pink dye.
Oh wait, let me go by you. Where are you right now? Are you doing a quest or are you just hanging out?
I am doing a quest. I was actually about to jump into a raid. And I was gonna pull you.
Oh, okay. Actually, that sounds pretty cool. Whoa, that was fast.
Ayo.
The thousand maws of Todorok. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
This is gonna be so hard.
I was to do a raid and also do a podcast. Yeah, yeah. So what's the first question we gotta answer now that we're starting the thousand maws of Todorok?
It's like it's doing like Sam Raimi-esque zoom-ins of a cave as our group looks nervous. Let's do it. Let's do it, baby. I want to play the flute so we can all run faster.
Great.
Hell yeah. The first question is from Scout. Thank you for asking. There's actually a number of these, which I'm excited to address, but I'll just ask one for now. How much personality have you found yourself applying to your characters? Despite them being literal blank slates, do you somehow know their vibe? So that's the first question. I thought that might be a good one to start with based on kind of what we were just saying. I mean, personally, I have found myself growing extremely fond of Zoe Bahamut. I truly kind of had the same mindset I would about any kind of protagonist for an RPG. I'm like kind of learning her vibe over time. I feel like, you know, obviously there's no like voice in the game or there's no like, I don't play the harp. I can't yet. Oh, like you said, like they're kind of blank slates. But I do think it was the moment that I joined the Carpenters Guild that like, I kind of felt more personality or I found myself projecting more personality on her. And I think us playing together, I feel like Zoe Bahamut has become like the de facto hero in Johnny Anime's ridiculousness. So like, she's also loosely based. I played a tiefling rogue in a one-off D&D game that my friend ran that I really enjoyed playing. So she's like kind of a loose like follow-up to that character. So that's where I'm at with her. I think like, I don't know if I can like define her personality quite yet, but that's something I'm looking forward to kind of thinking about more as I get farther into the game. But like,
yeah,
definitely heroic, definitely like grounded into making shit at the Carpenter's Guild, into wearing an eye patch and just like being cool, you know?
Yeah.
Playing every instrument.
I have a, like, I have a version of Zoe Bahamut's personality in my head, even though, again, like, there is nothing in game that is really attributing to that outside of like what we are kind of like, I don't know, just gluing onto the surface there. Because even as the person playing, the only times you get to choose dialogue are literally like, I think there was one yesterday that I was doing where the dialogue options were, "Hi, my name is Johnny Anime. I heard you were looking for me." And the other one was like, "I'm here to do a quest" or something. Like, those were my two options.
Right.
But to me, Johnny Anime does absolutely have a personality. I mean, he knows he's extremely hot, which is, you know, sometimes problematic in people. But in Johnny Anime's case, I think he just like, he just really enjoys adventuring. I think he just feels like he was born for it in a way. I mean, like he's loving being with a group of people, just like killing bugs in this cave right now. Like that's what he lives for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's almost like, I would say empty-headed in a way. Like, it's almost, he's just doing it kind of on autopilot, which is how I'm playing the game as well. You
There's
know?
Definitely like a kind of hauntingly vacant quality to Johnny Anime. Right. I think. What was your, because I have like sort of a vision in my head of Johnny Anime. You said you had one of Zoe Bahamut. What was the personality that you kind of had in your head for her?
Zoe Bahamut, I see, is just like a very earnest adventurer who wants to do right. Like, I see Zoe Bahamut as just kind of like a paragon of good, you know?
I love that. Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's kind of how, like, I have an affinity for characters that are, like, of a, like, fictional background that, like, would lend themselves to being villainous. Like, I love goblins. I love, like, creatures right, like that, yeah. You know? So making her kind of like a dragon person was fun for me to, like, make kind of like a heroic Robin Hood kind of character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Johnny Anime, I think I get like, I can't quite put into words, but I feel like I've talked to him at this point. Like I could hear his voice in my head and it's haunting.
What does Johnny Anime sound like to you?
Johnny Anime, I think, is the kind of person that like you meet and you like, you find them really mysterious, but then you realize that they actually just have nothing to say. And I don't mean that as an insult, but it sounds very insulting now that
I agree with you. There's kind of a haunting mystery to Johnny Anime. You don't know what he's thinking, and the answer to that might be that he's not thinking about anything.
But I think there's a weird comfort in like, because he's not arrogant in like a villainous way. He's just like very content in his own beauty and in his own like ability.
Right. And he will join the Leatherworking Guild and just get completely ripped apart by the person who runs it. And it's like, yeah, cool, I deserve this.
Like, I think I could see him as that guy in class where like the teacher kind of always like rips them apart, but like secretly loves them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Because he shows up, like he doesn't like skip class. He goes to class. He's just not very good.
And, right. Like, right. Yeah. Straight C pluses.
Yeah.
Like, but even like in pleasure gym. To have in class, definitely.
Yeah, that's too close to home, Brendan.
Yeah, a little bit me too.
Ooh, okay, we got some treasure here. What's this? Ethereal iron Elmo. I've never passed more on something in my life. Unless anyone has any follow up questions in the chat, do you want to move on to the next question?
Yeah, let's do
this
it.
This is actually doing a dungeon is actually way easier because at least it's like kind of a regimented like experience. Whereas like just walking around in the wilderness was too chaotic for me. Like I know like I'm able to pay attention here and thank God for our healer and tank who don't know that their other two party members are recording a podcast. They're like, they must be like, what's our bard up to?
Just answering a question from chat, actually, is what the bard is up to.
Yeah. Speaking of that, any other questions in chat while we are taking a look?
No, I think move on to the next one.
Okay. The next question from Scout is, what's making this game stick for you as opposed to other MMOs? I think we kind of touched on that a little earlier, but I do think it is sort of like, to put it in more concise terms, it's the setting and it's the sort of like sense of place. And like, I think the fact that the story is giving weight to MMO mechanics, it doesn't break the suspension of disbelief as much as other games do. You know, the little details that like they gradually introduce, you know, doing dungeons and doing PvP, like I never feel like it's not Zoe Bahamut's story. Like I think there's a way in which I can view this all as like part of the main quest, even if it's not the main quest.
Yeah.
And that for me is really working.
Yeah. I honestly am having a hard time putting my finger on what it is about this one. I think like a lot of it just has to do with, I think the combat is a little bit more interesting. It's just like a little bit deeper than it has been in other MMOs that I've tried. I find the world really easy to parse, but I think it really does all come back to that idea of like sense of place and sense of belonging and the idea that you are just one of many and not the chosen one, which I find is like the most boring thing you can do in these kinds of stories. And even though this game, the more I play, is starting to lean into that a little bit, it still is constantly acknowledging the fact that you are still one of many.
Exactly. Like it's even in the dreams where Crystal, right. Even in the dreams where Crystal is talking to you and saying like, you will save the world. It's talking to like dozens of other like spirits floating around.
Right.
So I think that's, That's accurate. I was laughing before because as we were saying, like, the setting is really beautiful. Just a bunch of red font popped up going, poison, 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 as we were going through this.
Yeah, shout out to us for neither of us commenting on the prison pudding enemy we were both fighting. That was, like, maybe one of the most horrific beings I've ever seen in a video game. We really held it together. And Drake720 in chat asks if Johnny is the quintessential blue-collar fantasy worker. And I think, yeah, is the answer.
Is Johnny the quintessential anything? I think the answer is yes.
Johnny is quintessential, capital Q.
Quintessential is his middle name.
Johnny quintessential anime. Next question.
Next question. Let me pull it up as we go through this.
As
dungeon.
We fight cell mites.
Have you done any customizing to your HUD that has vastly improved gameplay for you?
I have a little bit. Have you?
Yeah, I mean, I just messed around with the hot bars, which has really helped. Because like I didn't even use potions for the first like half of my experience playing this, and like got to a point where I probably started to need to, because like the spell I have that heals myself isn't as useful at later levels.
Right.
So I would recommend like just going through the hot bars, and you can have, I think, up to 8 like different ones. So definitely like just do whatever makes it easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of like getting rid of what's on screen, I haven't found a direct way yet, but like what I've learned about this game is like there is a direct way to do everything. It's just not completely visible right away. Like it really benefits from having like one person who knows the game to be like, hey, just do this. And thankfully our Discord is really helpful because there are a few people that like really know this game, and they've been extremely like helpful and responsive to people with questions.
Yeah, it's been really great.
I've also like had a pretty good time with like random people online as well, oddly enough. Like I haven't done voice chat or anything, but like it's been oddly pleasant, which has also been nice.
Yeah, there was actually a quest that I did in this game that was entirely centered around the idea of being nice to people that you randomly party up with for raids. I don't know if you did that same quest.
Yeah.
I was just like amazed
but
that existed in this game. It was really great. It was literally, you just have to go talk to the members of a party from a raid that had failed all individually and like sort out their stories and find out why they were angry at one another. And the reason was like really dumb. And then they all realized that at the end. And I was like, oh my God, this is literally telling you to be nice to each other in party chat. It was great.
And the fact too that like there are quests that you can't complete unless you do like certain emotes, like they're even giving narrative weight to like stuff you would kind of do like facetiously just online. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Like we just had a quest where we had to dance for everyone in the village. These like forest sprites were like, oh, great dance. I guess we'll help you now.
Yeah.
Like, okay. This is great. This is the best game I ever made. I forgot to play my flute that makes us walk faster. And last question from Scout is, who is your favorite minion so far?
Oh, wait, HUD. Sorry. I made everything smaller, and that made everything great.
Oh, nice. Because we're both playing on PS4, worth noting.
Yeah.
It's for PC and PS4.
Yeah, I have a PS4 Pro and a 4K TV, and they have really great settings to support that stuff, so you can make the HUD a little bit smaller, and that's been great.
And now we're fighting the Curl O'Ninetales, my favorite poisonous boss. Cool. I'm gonna move on to the next question then.
Yeah, please.
Boy of Stone asks, the game is known for some of the punniest quest names of all time. What have been your favorite quest names so far? I really liked, it wasn't quite a pun, but there was one just called It's Probably Pirates, and I thought that was just really like self-aware and funny. There was another one that was called there are a race of like fairy creatures called sylphs, and one of the quests was called Believe in Yourself, which I also liked. So those two, I think probably pirates and Believe in Yourself, were real good. Oh my God, I love this visor. I'm gonna need that.
Yeah, let me check out the old loot. Also love this visor, sorry. I'm going to pass on it so you can get it, though. Yeah, It's Probably Pirates became pretty much immediately my favorite one, just because it made you laugh so hard. You know, I just felt like a kind of a weird kinship.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now next we're in question. A hall of poison. Just give me one second here. Zoe, I believe in you. I'm gonna leave the controller on the table for a second. Confused Mima asks, when do you guys expect FF14 2? And what thing from another MMO?
Sure.
What aspect from another MMO would you like to see in FF14?
I miss the guns in Destiny.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I think they added Gunblade as a class from FF8.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So there you go.
No, yeah. I'm good then. This has everything.
In terms of, I know the first question is probably a joke, but honestly, I could see them. It seems like they've been adding a big expansion like every 2 years. Like Shadowbringers only came out last year and we're pretty early into 2020 while we're recording this. So I could see them. I mean, I feel like this game is only doing better and better. So I could definitely see them adding another expansion, but I don't think they're going to do like, I don't think we're going to get like 16 as an MMO or anything like that. I think they're probably committed to making this last as long as possible and we'll see what comes next.
Especially after the kind of like wild experience they've had building this game, you know, and having it fail at launch and then bringing it back from the dead and all that kind of stuff. Like, I wouldn't be too surprised if they were like, you know what, let's not try our luck again anytime soon.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I think in terms of another MMO aspect in this game, like I said earlier, I haven't really played like a ton, so I don't know really what I'd want. I mean, I feel like this game is kind of doing everything I would want, like that I wanted in other games. But I do think I would love if there was a way to, like, you and I played Starbound when it came out back in the day. And like, I really enjoyed just the like simple act of like traveling in a spaceship together. So if there's a way, and maybe there is, so excuse me if I'm like just stating the obvious, but I would love if there was a way to like travel like in an airship together somewhere, or like be in some type of vehicle together, like a ship or a airship or something like that. I think it would be really fun. So, but that's like, I don't need that. I just think it'd be cool.
yeah, I know where you're coming from.
I will say I wish there was an easier way to like, you can choose like what armor is visibly on you and what armor is like giving you stats, but it's a little bit limited. I just wish that was like a service you could always use for everything.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we are covered in spider eggs and poison.
This is a wild dungeon.
But yeah, that would be my answer for that. Let me move on to the next one. Don't worry, I'm gonna play my flute that makes us walk faster. Okay. Sorry. I love announcing it because it's like not really that helpful, but I love it. I don't know.
Nade in chat says there's multi-person mounts.
Oh, that's awesome. In this game. That's so cool.
There you go.
That's my dream.
So yeah, this game has everything. It has guns and multi-person mounts.
Nade asks, have you guys had any fun interactions with other players? I have. I haven't really like done a ton of interacting with other people. Like, you know, I've had a pretty pleasant time overall with just doing dungeons like this. For those who are unfamiliar, like they kind of throw you into a party of four. You have two DPS, one tank, one healer. It's really easy to find a group, which is really neat. And everyone's like pretty good, and you can commend players for their action. And I've given and received a lot of commends, which is great.
That's awesome.
I had some people in the text chat ask me like what certain moves of mine did so they can know like how to strategize around it. So like overall, I've had a pretty pleasant time. I did stream this game earlier on, like when Zoe was like level 10 or so. And I, for the stream, made a big cat man named Jellicle Choice.
Great name.
And in Jellicle Choice, I was dancing and then someone else started dancing with me, which was really fun, but then they took all their clothes off and I ran away. So
it's like such a classic.
Yeah,
that's
sort
MMO
of like
thing.
What you expect. But even then, like in the moments before it got PG-13, I was having the time of my life.
Yeah.
So how about you?
Yeah. Not to like kind of keep coming back to this, but in terms of like fun interactions with other players, like I feel like this is the easy way out answer, but it literally is every time I do raids, like the one we're doing right now, these I forget what these are called, duty quests or something.
Yeah, instance raids.
Yeah, I've just been so blown away by like how easy it is to find people to do these with, and
so
how much
seamless,
fun
yeah.
I have every time I do it. It is like bar none one of the best like automatic looking for party systems I've ever seen in a game, especially coming from a place like Destiny where you need to have six people to do a raid and it sucks every time.
Yeah, like, and this game also, like, with the menus and stuff, like, it I was expecting it to be much more of a challenge to find a group, and it's so easy. Now we're in a place where we're like fighting this big spider in a cave, but I think everyone's watching the cutscene, so I'm just dancing. Or I was dancing, but now everyone's just waiting on a cliff. Watching the cutscene?
I'm the one watching the cutscene. I'll just skip it. It's fine.
Okay. Our healer is dancing. There we go.
Doing the harvest dance.
Yeah, the harvest dances are, anytime Brendan and I play and you're waiting for me, you are doing the harvest dance
on top of
a building, which is like very, very Midsommar-esque. I love it.
Clabstrife in chat says, matchmaking for Destiny raids is generally the worst and hardest part of raids, but all Destiny raids are good. I do agree with that. All the raids themselves are great, but the process of finding people to play them with is terrible. And also, if you're playing with a bunch of randos online, I have had really bad experiences with that as well. It's kind of turned me off from doing them at all.
That's a bummer. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay, because I have Final
Fantasy 14.
I just
did my limit break, which literally is Barrett's limit break big shot, and that was very cool.
Oh, yeah. Should I do my limit break?
Yeah,
I don't have it anymore. I had it before, now it's gone.
Snooze, you lose. Say it, don't spray it, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I'm about to die. Shit.
Oh, really? Oh, jeez. Yeah. Where's our healer? Someone's not getting commended.
Anyway.
Here, I'll play with my flute so you can run faster.
Is it possible for you to read another question, or are there too many scorpions?
You know, I'll be completely honest. I wish there was one less scorpion, but I can make it happen because I'm just a bard. If there's anyone who can slack off, it's the bard. So I'm gonna read another question. I'll like be attacking, but I'm not gonna do anything fancy.
Yeah.
Shelly asks, have you noticed any Easter eggs from other games? Mostly a Steven question, I guess. Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm almost dead. Thank you, healer.
Came very close to dying.
Yes. So, oh my God. Might actually need a sec. Oh, I'm dead.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Did we just like not do it? Yeah, I guess we can return to the start. I'm going to just say okay, unless you believe in our
I think they died also.
Oh yeah, wow,
all
right,
brutal.
It's proven that not a great strategy what we're doing for the raid. For the show I think it's great, but oh, we can just go right back. That's easy. It's a shortcut.
Oh, nice.
That's really nice.
God,
so for anyone listening,
thought about anything or everything in this
they're
game,
like maybe there are two friends who are recording a bonus episode about this game and how it has such a strong sense of place, and they might be reading audience questions while fighting a bunch of giant scorpions. We're just going to make sure that you can play a flute so you can run faster. Yeah, that is really nice. I mean, we're not entirely there, but we're close enough.
Yeah. Anyway, next question.
I almost said user questions as if like we're some kind of weird corporation. Users have found, anyway. That's nothing. Let me read the questions. Easter eggs. Yeah, I mean, for one, my limit break was literally Barrett's limit break from FF7 Big Shot.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like stuff like all the summons, like Ifrit and Shiva and the Chocobos, that's like a staple.
I did a quest recently where I had to help Biggs and Wedge, like the Star Wars pilots.
Yeah, well, that's another Final Fantasy thing. I mean, there are references to Star Wars, but in every Final Fantasy game, there are Biggs and Wedge characters.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
like in
FF7,
they're game. Yeah, yeah. In this one, they're actually like one of them is a Rogadin, and one of them is a Lawful, which are like, you know, the biggest and smallest of the fictional races.
Oh.
But yeah, wow, there's so much poison. Yeah, otherwise, I mean, there's a lot of Easter eggs just to, like, everything. Like, a lot of the quest names. Like, there was one quest named Spirited Away. There was one quest named, like, a lot of movie references. Just a lot of, like, pop culture references in general. But, I mean, and there's even beyond references. Like, there are places you can go to that are from other Final Fantasy games. Like, you can go to Gold Saucer from FF7. I think you can go to Costa del Sol as well, which is amazing.
Yeah, I saw that on a list earlier.
I haven't been either place yet, but yeah, this game is full of nods to other things, which is really cool. All right, I am going to fight this scorpion. For those just listening, it's a heated battle. I wish you could see it. I wonder if AJ could have fun with like the audio and these weird lulls where we're fighting scorpions. We'll find out in the edit. Jammin' TK asks, what did you name your chocobos? And how many hours have you / are you going to waste at the Golden Saucer? I named my chocobo Bowie after David Bowie. And I don't know. I mean, I could see it going either way. I'm not quite sure how Gold Saucer works in this game. I definitely played it a lot in FF7.
It is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so overwhelming because it was so gigantic that I had to leave like immediately. I couldn't handle it. I'll probably make my way back there eventually. But yeah. It is intense. I named my chocobo Star Wars because it made me laugh really hard.
I almost forgot Star Wars. Johnny Anime and his noble steed, Star Wars.
Yeah, you bet.
But yeah, if in the FF7 Gold Saucer, I really liked the strange like rocks, paper, scissor fighting simulator.
Yeah.
If there's that, I would be
no,
there
I died!
Hours.
Oh my god! We were so close!
Oh, we just won.
I also died, though.
Oh.
Shit.
Can't win them all. I think you'll be okay, though.
I think
god, I see! Wait, can I help you? No, I can't.
I don't know. I just saw a cutscene where Johnny Anime was given a fist bump. Oh, I hit return by accident. Shit. All right. Oh, there we go.
We're good. We did it. Good job, Johnny.
Thanks.
Zeno asks our last question here. Who's the number one Scion and why is it Tataru? I think she's the like receptionist, right?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
the lawful.
Absolutely the best.
She's cool. I also like Pompilio or Pompilimo. He's the other Lawful. He's like kind of the like grumpy like voice of reason character, but is like a small scientist, alchemist dude. I think there's a cat girl, I forgot her name, but she's like in Dissidia and is sort of like the de facto FF14 stand-in character, which is kind of interesting. I haven't seen her story yet, but yeah, I think the two Lawful characters have stood out for me. I think Ida and Pompilimo, when they first show up, that's like the first beat in the story where it starts to feel like a Final Fantasy game. And I find them like, you know, again, the writing is what it is, but like I find their presence very funny. Both actually and also just like ironically.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed that whole like ragtag kind of X-Men ensemble a lot.
Yeah, they're really great. So I was playing my first character, Craig Armstrong, in Uldah. And when you're playing through the beginning of the story in Uldah, the first person you meet from the Scion of the Seventh Dawn is Thancred, who is like
He's like fine.
Like white haired elf with like a big neck tattoo. And it's so I don't want to say boring, but it was like so exactly what I didn't want Final Fantasy 14 to be.
Thancred is like the character that like the dude in your D&D group who wants to be edgy makes. He's
right.
Like, I'll be Thancred. He like does a backflip and saves the day, but like isn't cool enough to pull it off.
Yeah, it's Johnny Anime named something that's not Johnny Anime.
It's Johnny Anime if his name was Thancred.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, and I was like so bummed out. And then I went and did and started Johnny Anime in Gridania and met Pompilio and Ida, and it's been great.
Yeah. So that's cool that there are different Scions depending on where you start. I'm not sure who's in the Limsa Limensa area. That area is cool. Like I find the city itself a little bit tricky to get around, but the actual the surrounding area and the vibe of the setting is really cool. I think you and I talked about it last time. We're like, Ulda and Limsa Limensa both feel like settings that are really cool to discover, but are a little bit overwhelming to start in.
Totally agree.
At least for our experience with MMOs and for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And are there any more questions?
That's it. That's all I got here.
Wow.
Unless there's anything in chat. Yeah.
can you go out on dates at the Gold Saucer? Because, like, really, what else is there to do? I don't know if you can go on dates in Gold Saucer. I mean, I imagine you could with a real-life person. You could say, like, meet me at Gold Saucer on the Genova server. You could do that.
Yeah. I wonder, because there's a whole scene in FF7, not to spoil it, but you go on a date with actually one of three characters, and you go on the Ferris wheel together. And there's,
that's like, great.
A whole scene. Yeah.
Anyway, should we wrap up then?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't mind this being a shorter one, because I think our last few bonuses have been like, do you have 18 hours? Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this one. This is a little bit of an experiment. We wanted to like try something a little bit different with the bonuses, and I think we will continue to do so.
Yeah.
So that's all good, but just want to thank like our patrons again for making bonus stuff possible, and just thank everyone here who's been in chat and everyone who's listening and who's in the Discord. Like, we're really, I think Brendan and I both like dissociate from compliments sometimes. Like, it's, we've been very lucky with how much positive feedback the show has gotten, that sometimes it's like easy not to register how beautiful of a thing is. That's like, that is the community growing around the show. And I just want to once again highlight how thankful I am for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ditto to all of that. It's pretty substantially wild.
Yeah.
Cool. I guess we wrap up by saying all the stuff. We got that slick Twitch account, which we're streaming on currently, but if you're listening to this audio, it's twitch.tv/intothecast. We stream there every once in a while. We have a YouTube account, the link to there is in the show notes. We got a Twitter account, twitter.com/intothecast. We have an email address. It's intotheaetherpodcast@gmail.com. Horrible email address. I'll make a better one eventually. And we can start going there instead. We also have an incredible Discord, which we've mentioned a lot in this episode specifically. But it is bit.ly/twgdiscord. You can join there, or you can go to theworstgarbage.online and find the link on there. But, that's all the links, all the shout outs, all the cool shit.
Another big shout out to AJ, our producer, for editing this one too.
On this one,
I feel like it will either be easier or much harder. I don't know. It's definitely not going to be a normal experience.
No,
editing this one.
Yeah,
but
AJ's eyes are going to turn into light while he's editing this.
I just want. Oh my God! Someone's running around with like a giant chocobo head. This is great. Anyway, enough of me describing the visuals of the game we're playing. I think we'll sign off for the episode for now.
Yeah.
But thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Yeah, cool. My name is Brendan Bigley. You can find me on the internet at Brendan Bigley.
I'm Stephen Hilger. You can find me at Stephen Hilger. Have a wonderful day in Gridania, where I am right now.
Catch you later.
Bye.